Year after year, one of the most consistent items on my Do Something list is to have fun with fashion. Exploring my personal style has added more joy to my everyday life and helped me feel more like myself on the regular. However, I have found that there are some brands I would love to explore more, but they are out of my typical price range. Or there's the it item that I would love to try out, but without the commitment of keeping it. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just did my quiz and have selected a few dresses for the summer from Boden, one of my favorite brands that I can't typically afford. And I also got a double-breasted black blazer from a new-to-me designer, a classic item that I have been on the hunt for but too scared to commit to until I know it's the one. For you expecting mamas, for those who are working, or those who are style-obsessed, who want to switch out your wardrobe with quality pieces without the designer prices, check out this woman-owned company that has your style and your sustainability in mind. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/progress. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/progress to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I don't have enough time. Do you find yourself saying that often? I do too. You are listening to episode 155 with Jen Ride, improving your time management by letting things go. Welcome to About Progress. I am your host, Monica Packer, and I am here to guide you toward living the life you want. Each week, you'll hear interviews and teachings on how to balance self-development with self-acceptance. Listen in and join our community that knows life is about progress, not perfection. Welcome back to the show. I am such a huge fan of Jen Ride and her podcast, Vibrant Happy Women. I actually got to be a guest on her show last week, so I'll link to that episode in the show notes. And I have to tell you, she is an incredible interviewer. And I so loved talking to her about my journey of progress, not perfection. And we also got into how this translated to my spiritual life, which I think you would find interesting. Now Jen gets to be on my show and talking about something that I thought she would be a total expert on, how to better manage your time. If you're already feeling nervous about this episode because this is something you struggle with, do not fret. This is actually a conversation that I think will give you a lot more hope about how you will be able to better manage your time, because Jen twists things around. It's more about letting things go than it is about hyper managing your life. First, so many of you have joined the 5-day sleep makeover challenge, yay. And again, this was 100% free and not in the please put your credit card here way free. No, this is so free. All you have to do is add in your email address and then you will get 5 easy ways to transform your sleep with a real sleep expert and how I translated that in the real world. You can find that on my website aboutprogress.com/sleepmakeover. Second, my Rediscover You workshop has only around 15 tickets left. That's not very many, folks. It is on May 4th in Utah, and it is a full-day event including gourmet food,
a really in-depth workbook, and you will feel spoiled. I'm speaking alongside my guest speakers, Meg Miles of Momstrong Utah and Jamie Cook of Wander and Scout. Make sure you snag your ticket before they're gone, and you can find that at About Progress on my website, aboutprogress.com/rediscoveryou. If you've been following along with our Habits Month, that means you have learned about how to change your sleep, you figured out what your motivational style is, and next, it is time to think about how you are managing your time. I thought there was no better woman to have on the show than Jen Ryday, who is a working mother of 6 children.
I am what I call a women's happiness expert, and that is born out of my own deep misery that I had over a decade ago as a mom of 6 and having a miscarriage. And so I took everything I knew from grad school and self-help and became a life coach and a podcaster. My podcast is called Vibrant Happy Women.
Yeah.
And it's my life's work, in addition to being a mom, to help women find themselves, get their sparkle back, and have more time for what really matters.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have definitely benefited from your podcast so much. And one of the things that had really drawn me into you in the first place was how deliberate you are with fixing your routines and your habits to match the life that you want to live. And this month we're talking about habits. So I thought, well, who's better to talk about this than a mom of 6 and a podcaster and life coach, Jen Ryday, on how to manage your time better. So how about we start before you were good at that? When was time management not your strong suit for you?
That's a funny one, because I was kind of born good at it.
Really?
So when,
that's not what I want to hear, Jen.
Okay. Well, we can change that.
No. Tell us the truth. That's all right.
Let's back up. So I was born fairly organized. I remember cleaning my room at age 5. Without being asked, wanting it to be organized. So there was that type A drive from the beginning. Okay. And, but really in the end, that was born out of this need to please my parents. I grew up on a farm in Southwest Iowa, and I just wanted to get that love and approval that I think all of us want from our parents.
Of course.
But being Midwesterners, my parents didn't really give that praise very readily. So I think I was always just chasing perfectionism a little bit and trying to achieve. So I was really good in school, and I did well in band and piano and basketball, and I went to college and I got my PhD. I mean, just chasing something. And then I became a stay-at-home mom, and I was going to do that perfect too. And that's when the brakes were put on, when I realized, oh, you can't do that perfectly. So I think that's when I hit a rock bottom with time management. When you hit that place when you realize, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this by the book, and I'm sure messing this up, and you get a little bit depressed and anxious, and then time management gets really hard because you lose that motivation. And so that would be my low point with time management.
Okay. Well, it's helpful to hear that. I'm not glad for that happening to you, but I'm glad to hear that even someone who was more naturally inclined to order and systems still felt that this transition to motherhood and a lot of children for you was more than you were equipped with to deal with, because so much of what we do as moms, you can't count on, right? You can't count on them doing everything right and in line and in order. It's just part of the job. And until you accept that, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Exactly. And not just with kids, but my husband and I met in grad school and wanted all of the kids and wanted the great family. But from almost the beginning, we had a ton of conflict. And so this ideal I'd always had of this perfect family, and I was going to be Maria from The Sound of Music. I was going to be Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
It was so devastating to watch this conflict happen. And of course, I blamed my husband completely at first. Now I can see I was part of the problem, too.
Yeah. But,
so a lot of depression for that unmet expectation that, gosh, I mean, this isn't how I wanted it to look. This is a bummer. And, you know, it's tough when that happens. But I guess go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like that wall happened to me after I had my third. Those unmet expectations in myself, just how disappointed I was with what kind of mom I was ending up being, you know, than I thought I would be.
Yes.
What child, like what number child did that tend to happen to you? Like what phase were you like, whoa, this is so different than what I was expecting or even hoped for or planned on for myself?
I've seen pictures of myself somewhere around child three or four where mm-hmm. I was pregnant and yeah. crawling around on the ground, crawling around picking up wrapping paper. And I just looked like death warmed over. That's pretty much when I was, you know, you're just tired and you haven't learned yet at that point that, oh, you have to take care of yourself too. All yes. right. We forgot that part. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So a big part of how I feel like you transformed your time management, and at least in what I've heard on your show, is you incorporating time for yourself and learning yes. how that needed to be a top priority. So for those moms who are listening, whether they are stay-at-home moms or work moms or work-at-home moms, it's hard no matter what. How were you able to change how you were managing your time in small ways that made time for you and your priorities outside of your self-care realm?
You know, it really comes down to one simple thing that's really not so simple, but it sounds simple.
Yeah.
And that is when we base our use of time on all of these expectations and shoulds from our parents or society or our spouse or mm-hmm. a magazine or Pinterest, all of those crushing expectations that are impossible to live. If we believe those lies and take that as truth, we will never have enough time.
Yeah.
So the trick really is to stop doing all of it and yeah. get really quiet and really grounded and centered. I like to meditate. Some people like to pray or journal or be in nature. But for me, it was kind of a cross of meditation and prayer and just saying, yeah, why am I doing all this? Mm-hmm. What is really important? What do I really want my kids to know? And the answer for me was, I wanted them to see what it looks like to have a vibrant and happy mom, which became the name of my podcast, yes. Vibrant and Happy Women.
Uh-huh.
Because if I was going to do all of this stuff and be this grumpy and exhausted mom, I had failed. I wasn't giving them the thing I wanted more than anything, a memory of their mom being vibrant and happy. And I really believe kids, especially our daughters, but all kids will grow up to kind of live their lives the way they saw their parents doing it. And mm-hmm. if I wasn't modeling
yes.
this deep peace and happiness, then it was all for nothing. So when you get to that place and realize, oh, this is what's important, then you have this power inside of you to start saying, no, I'm not baking 24 PTA cupcakes. I am not going to redecorate that room right now. I don't really care, because if I can't feel calm and happy, none of this matters. That's where time management begins for me.
Oh, so interesting. So I love how this isn't getting into a how-to, like A, B, C, D. First you do this. What you're saying is stop. Stop it mm-hmm. all and take account of what matters to you in your life and what really gives you peace. And then learn mm-hmm. how to say no. I love that.
Yes. And if you want a practical step.
Yes. That comes
stop
next,
and
I guess.
Figure out. Yeah. Stop and get calm and grounded and understand what's important to you. And I like to recommend choosing your top four priorities. What okay. are your top four? And so for me, not in order, those would be my spirituality, my family, my health, and my career.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure out what those are and then look at everything you're doing. And if it's not helping one of those four areas, let it go. Mm-hmm. And often we'll find out that PTA volunteering or whatever else might not be meeting your top needs. So you write the check instead of giving them your time, because time mm-hmm. is our most precious commodity. Or you buy those cookies instead of baking them. You're creating time all the time when you start saying, these are the top four priorities. I'm going to say no to the rest. So this year, my top four priorities are, I just mentioned, spirituality, family, health, and career. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to spend more time with friends. So I thought, okay, it's not in my top four, but I really do want to be healthier. So I'm going to work out with friends. So you can still squeeze those things in, but you've got to still tackle it in light of those top four priorities, those things that you know you have to do first, or you're going to feel empty inside. So that's kind of a good filter where our listeners can start.
So I am thinking about some people who are listening who hear you and believe you, but also discount their option to be still and to think that through. They're just so overwhelmed with the responsibilities on their plate and overwhelmed at taking that time that they don't even know how to do that. For you, what did you do to build in that space to even give yourself reflection?
Yeah, great question. First, I always recommend getting up before your kids. And some people roll their eyes and say, that's not happening. Okay, either you're going to do it or you're not. So if you're going to do it, that's when you build in the time. And I have a friend, Stephanie, who actually told her kids, Mama's not available till 7. Sorry, you can play in your room.
Yeah.
And that works if your kids are of a certain age. Obviously, yes, sure. If you have an infant, it's not going to work.
Of course.
But then let's go to the next best step. A lot of listeners probably have a spouse or partner. You say to them, I need my hour to myself today and I'm going to go get it. And you get in your car, your minivan, and you go get it. Sometimes I'll drive in my van and there's this kind of beautiful outlook over our city and I'll drive up there. And then at this point, in fact, it's probably not even a path you're supposed to be driving on, but I do anyway.
Go for it, Mara.
I park up there.
Yeah.
I park up there and I have my quiet. And no one's in the van with me. You have to kind of create these opportunities. And some people think it happens when you're going to the bathroom. Oh, nah, it doesn't work. You have to kind of leave sometimes just to be away from the pressure of it all, where you can be still and hear your intuition, God, the universe, whatever language you use for that. And that's where you'll get this heart-centered answer on how you can create that space for what really matters, how you can create space for joy and fun and connection and love, all those feelings that get pushed to the back burner if all we care about is our to-do list.
Okay, this is so applicable for so many women, especially I'm thinking about just a similar time of life, like when you're adjusting to a family and perhaps a career and losing yourself and your interests along the way. And what I love what you just said is if you're committed, like you need to be committed to what matters to you. And if you don't know what that is, you need to be committed to finding out. And if you are, then you can ask for that time. You can pay for that time, or you can even exchange with a friend to get that time you need to be still and reflect.
Exactly. And a lot of people say, oh, I'd feel too guilty. But you have to step back just for a moment, even in the shower, and remember, if I can't even create 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes of space for myself today or every day, then something's off balance. And your kids, your loved ones, whoever, your coworkers, they're going to pick up on that frazzled energy. And we just have to think, what legacy do I want to leave? Is it this, oh my gosh, I have to be so perfect in this perfect house and perfect hair. And but in the end, your kids know when you're empty inside. And so when you feel guilty for it, you've got to step back and remember, who are you really? And what are your kids really going to remember? And what do you want that to be? Then the guilt falls away.
Oh, I love that. So that's like that perspective, being committed to that greater perspective of what you want out of your life and your legacy and what you want your children to remember. I think that's fantastic. For someone, they say that, let's say they've taken this time, they've been still and they have been able to come up with their priorities. What do they do from there? Because I'm sure a lot of people can name those and in a shorter amount of time, but then it's reforming how they have been living their lives. That's the next overwhelming step.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I like to suggest people plan each week, 1 week at a time. So I have a program called Time Mastery for Women.
Yes.
And I teach this in there, but I'll go ahead and share it with your listeners.
Well,
they'll
that'd
get
be great.
A,
yeah.
Like a little insider scoop.
Nice.
But to plan your week at a glance, take a sheet of paper or maybe create a computer printout. I have something I've created digitally and divide it into the 7 days of the week. Get your scheduled items on there and you'll see, oh, wow, this is my week right here. Then schedule in your routines that help you meet your priorities. If one of your priorities is health, hopefully in your routines, maybe a morning routine, you have 7, 10, 15, 20 minutes for exercise, for example, or maybe a little time for your meditation. These things that allow us to fill our cups and stay juicy spiritually and emotionally juicy instead of brittle. Mm-hmm. And so you build in the must do appointments and the routines. And then those other spaces are for, you know, well, I guess first you would schedule time for those priorities in addition to the routines. For me, family, career, health, and spirituality. Then after all of that important stuff is in, the big rocks, do you put the to-do list stuff in there?
Yeah.
And most of us live in the opposite way. The to-do list dominates our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have this pile of laundry and I have this sink full of dishes and oh, I got to cook this meal. And oh, someone called, they want me to take a meal for this person who had a baby, and it's complete chaos. And we're not getting the big rocks in if we don't plan with a purpose, like I like to say, and get those big priorities into our life through scheduling and routines. Then, only then, do we leave the spaces for those unimportant tasks that really mean nothing in mm-hmm. the terms of our life legacy.
Absolutely. Okay. So don't think about the to-dos. Start with your priorities. That's first. That's a primary
yes.
focus each week. How long does it take you to plan out your week?
1 hour, usually. I do it on Sundays. And sometimes that's one of my minivan moments, when I get in the minivan and drive away and do it quietly, so no one bothers me.
Yeah.
But my husband's getting really good at supporting this. And remember I said he and I fought a lot. I used to think he didn't care at all how I felt.
Yeah.
He actually was just reacting to my frazzled energy, my impatience and stress. He could feel it just oozing off of me. And I didn't know that. The happier I get, the easier family life is, the better our marriage is. What a gift, because then our kids aren't growing up with conflict and stress and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's juicier. I love that word right now. It's more peaceful. And all because I'm putting those big rocks first. And one of those big rocks is how I feel. Because really, energetically, women are like the sun, I like to say. As we shift and increase our light, all those planets orbiting around us, spouse, kids, friends, they can't help but shift in response because they will feel it. That's mm-hmm. why our happiness, our energy is one of the most important gifts we can give our family. And we shouldn't feel guilty for that.
Amen. So I, when I first heard an hour though, I have to admit my jaw was like, oh, that's a lot of time. And if you, when you first started doing this, did you start at an hour, or how can we work up to that for people who are like, whoa, I don't even know how to do it for 10 minutes just because it's so new and it's so overwhelming. What can they do to start small and gradually build on that? Because I know you're good at building on habits as well.
I guess you start small. Maybe that first week you just write, take a sheet of paper and get your 7 columns and get your scheduled appointments in there and you look at it. You're like, wow, this is busy. And maybe you figure out what you can cut. Hmm. But I really feel that bare minimum, you have to have 10 minutes every day. That's time to kind of refill your cup, get juicy again instead of brittle. And so somewhere in there, you've got to schedule that bare minimum.
Huh? That's, do you mean I'm going to leave it yourself? Right there. Time to yourself or time to plan? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Time to yourself. But okay. Not just time to yourself for things like mani-pedi or watching This Is Us.
Yes.
I'm talking about time to get quiet, time to refuel. So it might be that hot bath. It might be exercise. Whatever refuels you the best that makes you feel really calm and peaceful, that's the thing.
Okay.
And then increase it over time. Yeah.
Definitely. And you know, when you said an hour, I thought you meant you plan for an hour, but you're saying you take an hour to be still each week and incorporate that into your planning. Is that what you were saying?
No. I take an hour every Sunday to plan the whole week.
Okay.
So I really do. And I'm not alone in suggesting that. Richard and Linda Iyer have a book called Joyful Mother of Children, I mm-hmm. think it's called. And Stephen Covey talked about sharpening your saw. These 1-hour planning sessions are quite common for people who want you to live a life filled or centered around your priorities. So the hour is pretty standard amount of time to get your appointments in there, to think about what you want to do with each of your kids. Maybe you want that mommy son date or that, you know, a date with your spouse. Maybe you want to hug each other more in your home, whatever. You just get these little thoughts and goals written into your calendar. Then you create the space for these unimportant things like laundry and dishes. And
well, yeah, let's paint the alternative, right? If you're not taking the time to plan, even if you have to start with 20 minutes and then build on that to a half hour and more, you know, because I think what you'll see is the benefit, the fruit of the labor you're putting in there. The reverse is what? Like, paint a picture. What is it like?
There's a saying that says, fail to plan and you plan to fail. If you don't know where you're putting these big rocks and have a plan for it, life will happen. Mm-hmm. Diaper changes, laundry, dishes, all of the stuff. And then you'll be empty by the end of the day.
Yes.
And I want to challenge the idea that every woman here can't find an hour. I mm-hmm. honestly don't believe that's true. I don't believe it. I know you can ask a friend, a spouse, a parent to watch your kids for an hour. I know that.
Yeah.
I reject that claim that you can't find it. So there, I'm being tough. Tough love.
You know what? That's what we need to hear here, because I'm just trying to speak on behalf of the people who I know are going to be like, but, you know, have those excuses. But you've said this from the beginning of our conversation. Your commitment will help you carry through with what is going mm-hmm. to help you the most. And I think if you give it an honest shot, you're going to see the fruits of your labor there. And otherwise, you're a ship tossed to and fro. You know, you're just carried about instead of carrying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. And I will admit, I don't always do it perfectly. Are there weeks I miss it? Yes. Do those weeks feel more chaotic and stressful? 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know up from down. And by the end of the week, I'm like, whoa, what was that?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that feeling. Yeah. It's just creating patterns of success, creating a container of the life you want to have.
Wonderful. So I used to be what I call like a heavy duty perfectionist. And then what that resulted in my life was then becoming a very underachieving perfectionist. So I'm one of those people that if I imagine myself managing my time, I am planning by the minute, you know, by the second.
Ooh.
And really just getting too hardcore in there. So what can you say for people like me who procrastinate doing these things because of their perfectionist natures that are getting in their way of moving forward?
Okay, that's a great question. For some people, maybe you really can't plan in this way. And to those of you who are like that, I recommend an app called Fabulous. Have you heard of it?
I have not heard of that. No.
So the Fabulous app is essentially aimed at helping you build in these cup filling routines into your day.
Okay.
And you don't have to schedule them because it's a routine. So my morning routine, the first thing the Fabulous app will have you do is, I believe, hydrate. Get that water in. That makes a huge difference for your whole day if you're hydrated, because you'll have way more energy.
Yeah.
You'll be way more patient. So you don't have to do them at any set time. But once you do, you check it off. And I'm going to push the button now. Maybe it will ring in the microphone. Listen. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
And then if you do the next one, you'll get a better sound.
Nice.
I'm checking.
So this is
off.
Like Pavlov's dog. You know, you're like, yeah,
exactly.
I did it. Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It gives you a sound. It gives you a picture. This was created by scientists in a couple of different universities who collaborated. It's real brain science that makes you feel so good. It's not just the checklist, but you get the sound effects. That's like, yes, it's
that.
Like our own little video game for our life.
Yeah.
And so
that's brilliant.
If you can't plan and you don't want to do that 1 hour, I totally give you all permission to try the Fabulous app. I love it.
That's so good. That's helpful to know, especially if you are that ship being tossed to and fro and you just need to get centered in some basic self-care routines first before getting a hold of your time. That seems like a fantastic way to start. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. And this is a good one for any of our listeners who are facing depression, which can happen in the Northern Hemisphere in the winter.
Yep.
When you have no motivation, I know everyone can roll over and drink some water and click that little button I just clicked. And you've done some self-care. Fantastic. And maybe a week later, you add a little more and you come back out of that spiral you've fallen down into.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I'm again getting this thread through of committing to your priorities. So when you really know what matters to you, you know that what matters is exercise so you can be outside and get some mental restoration, but it might not be like an hour and a half gym session. So you're getting in the self-care that works for you instead of what works for everybody else on the internet.
Yes, exactly. And science is starting to show that even just 7 minutes of working out, if you do it, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, is as effective as that 30-minute cardio session if you do it high intensity.
That is
so you
awesome.
Can get this. There's an app called Seven where you just do a 7-minute workout, or maybe you just walk. But if you make the intention to feel good from the self-care instead of trying to be perfect, then it becomes so much easier. Then the measuring stick is only how you feel inside and no one else. It's really looking inward, and then you can drop perfectionism pretty fast.
Exactly. And I think that's where my fellow recovering perfectionists are going to get hung up on. Their time management is so much about what's going on around them instead of what matters within and where they are choosing to spend their time. And that's where I'd like to spend our last little bit of time here, is talking about this myth of balance, because I think what people think it is balance means perfection, that the meals are already on time, the laundry's always done, the work is being fulfilled, the kids are all happy, and everything's done perfect, you know, or not even perfect, but just done, you know, and that isn't possible. So for you, when you're managing your time, how can we translate that to this myth of balance? In terms of how people picture balance and is supposed to be in their lives.
You know, I once had to take one of my kids to see a psychiatrist and I was telling her how stressed out, here's my perfectionism from the past. It's really shifted.
Yeah.
I was telling her how stressed out I was that he didn't have all A's. And he should care, and he's not going to be able to go to college. And she looked at me and she said, you know, the kids and the teens that I see that are the most balanced are the B students. She said those A students have more psychological problems. And I've thought about that ever since.
Wow.
And
that was me. I don't know about
right,
you, but
right.
that was me. Yes.
What and she's so describing. My rule of, yeah. I agree. And so my rule of thumb is 50 to 80% is A plus. Anything above that is unhealthy. And yeah, 50 to 80% done is done. So lowering the standards enough in that realm lets my husband succeed when he's taking over the house and cleaning it up. It's 50 to 80%. Hey, we're done. We rock this. A plus.
Yes.
Just making that the standard in our minds. And it's hard to make that shift. Don't get me wrong. Because I grew up with a mom who had a pristine house and I had the straight A's. And I feel better though. It's essentially a shift to slowly becoming more type B, you know, instead of type A, which in the end makes us feel neurotic.
Yes.
So 50 to 80% is an A plus.
You know, and I have to tell you, Jen, I totally connect with you on there because that's the shift I've seen in myself too. And with that, I mean, I think we can give type B's a bad rap and saying that they're not, or a bad rep and saying that they're not persistent or don't follow through. And that's not what I think. I think they are more forgiving and I think they are more creative, and that's where the light comes in. And that's the shift I've seen as well. It makes all the difference.
And if you think about the people that are the most fun to be around, where you just feel good in their presence, it's rarely the type A people, because you can feel their intensity and that it just makes you feel lacking because there's an energy about it. But, you know, so that's kind of my new ideal. And I think about it and I hold it up as the example. And that's what I want. I want more mess. I want to show people that it's okay, and give others permission to let go as well and stop trying to live a magazine or Pinterest life. So,
yeah, I had one guest who was talking about motherhood, and I've never forgotten what she said. And she said, you know, mess is where the magic happens. And she's right. Jen, this was so fantastic. I learned so much from you, and it's totally given me, and I like to say this to my listeners, like, did you get a hug and a kick in the pants at the same time? That's my goal. And you have done that for me today, because you have inspired me to be more committed to making time to purposely plan for what's going to matter for me that week. And so I really thank you personally, and I know this is going to help my listeners too. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me.
Want to take your learning to a whole new level? There are three ways. The first is to print off this month's free printable to help track your progress on the theme at hand. You can find that on my website, aboutprogress.com/free. The second way is to join our free and private Facebook group called Work in Progress. I've linked to that in the show notes. There you can receive community, inspiration, and accountability. And lastly, you can share your voice and your words on this show, literally. Our last episode of each month will feature members of this growth-driven community. Here you will share ways that you have worked on your own progress related to the theme. You can share tips that you would like other listeners to know, or even funny stories to help them feel better. Don't be shy. You do have something of value to offer this community. You can find out how to contribute your voice or your words by going to my website, aboutprogress.com, click on podcast, and then click on Be on the Show. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, life is about progress, not perfection.
Well, isn't there a saying? Plan. Let's see. How's it go?
There's something about too.
If you don't plan, if you don't plan, you're going to fail to plan. You're going to plan to fail. Fail to plan and you'll plan to fail. There you go. That's how it goes.
Okay. Say it again and I'll cut that part out. And what is one way you have recently invested in yourself?
I just joined Orange Theory Fitness and I love it.
I've heard so much about
so
that.
Fun.
It looks really fun and hard.
It is fun. And it's kind of strange. I'm wondering what they do, but I've found, this has never happened before when I've joined a gym, I am thinking about the place and longing to be back. Is that not strange?
Oh, that's awesome. You found your
thing. I don't know what it is. Yeah, my friend says they must pump crack through the AC vents.
They got to do something. Well, that's cool. That makes me want to go try one out. Okay.
Yeah.
And your favorite dessert?
I'm going to have to say chocolate mousse.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. I'm a chocolate girl. I don't know if I've ever really had chocolate mousse, though. So I'm going to have to put that on my list, too. Orange Theory, then chocolate mousse. We'll do it in that order.
Yeah.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.